Living for Jesus is a favorite that we've sung for many, many years. And on this weekend, and I hate in some ways to even call it a holiday weekend, but it's a long weekend set aside to observe Memorial Day, the words and lyrics from Living for Jesus, I think, should have a greater impact on us. And I have to wonder how many servicemen and women feel like before they've ever gone into battle that they were living for Jesus. I happen to believe that many, many more than what we might first think of were. And those who are still in the military active and who will recognize on Veterans Day, I think they are. As you look into the military history, you see more and more where faith is intertwined in those who serve. And those who have given their all, especially that, and as we honor them on Memorial Day. Faith in the founding of this country, faith in its constitution, faith undergirds and is a pillar of our society. We have these faiths and freedoms because our founding fathers had the desire to worship God. They publicly worshiped God. Their statements are recorded. We have that right to worship freely enshrined within our laws. But folks, the ability to preserve them does not come freely. It comes at a cost. You know, as a soldier of Christ, Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." There is a cost to follow Jesus. As we worship this morning, I want to look at both the Memorial Day and the reason we recognize those who have fallen, but also and remember them and honor them as we are told to do, but also I want us to look and remember what Jesus has done for us and how our service to Him reminds us that we are not isolated in living our lives, that our life should be a service to others, just like it is for all of our military men and women. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and has been the custom now for many, many years. Tomorrow, the 3rd Infantry Regiment, also known as the Old Guard, will place American flags at the base of more than 250,000 headstones in the cemetery at Arlington, as well as at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. The tradition has taken place every year since the Old Guard's establishment as the Army's official ceremonial unit in 1948. If you go, that's just at Arlington. If you go to all the cemeteries throughout this country, there's over 1 million flags that will be put on fallen soldiers, servicemen and women that we will recognize and remember tomorrow. They paid the sacrifice in answering the call to their country. Answering the call to their country and doing this preserved our freedoms. And we don't have to look any further than we do to France. The Americans liberated France. And the French have been, of all of our allies, perhaps the most grateful in recognizing what was liberated and given back to them in World War II, because they have crosses on their cemeteries and on the graves of the cemeteries where they recognize the American soldiers. You see, so much was sacrificed and given. And because it was, it is honorable that we recognize these people. The Bible tells us this in Romans, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." How could we not honor our service men and women who have died for this country, whose freedoms we still enjoy because the battles took place to preserve those freedoms? Jesus made the following statement. As a matter of fact, we studied this earlier this year when Mary was anointing Jesus before his burial. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." You see, it is honoring to her. And we need to honor our men and women who are now unfortunately recognized on Memorial Day. I spoke with my brother earlier this week. And I'm so thankful that we can still talk on the phone and I can really recognize him on Veterans Day. And he's not just a passing memory to be recalled on Memorial Day. But for so many families, that's what the case is. And for so many families, there are fresh wounds that hurt. There are vacant places across the tables throughout this country, and we need to remember them. Fallen warriors are due the honor that we give them. And I'm grateful that this country recognizes them and that we'll do so tomorrow. I want to share with you a prayer of thanks for freedoms, because it's a prayer that should have significance to us as we take our freedoms too often for granted. The prayer is this: Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious gift of freedom, the freedom to worship, to speak, and to live according to our conscience. On this Memorial Day, we remember with deep gratitude the brave men and women who gave their lives so that we might enjoy these liberties. Their sacrifice reflects the love of Christ, who laid down his life so that we might be entirely free. Help us to use our freedom wisely, to serve others, seek justice, and reflect your light in a world longing for peace. Comfort the families who have lost ones in service and remind them that their sacrifice was not in vain. May we live each day with thankfulness and courage, honoring both the memory and your grace. In Jesus' name. What a wonderful, splendid prayer. You know, I find that our responsive reading that we read this morning is written between the lines of this prayer. The sentiments of this prayer is reflected in those words taken from God's Word. We need to be thankful for our liberties. And now I want to bring to you a focus for a few moments, a little bit, because, well, let me ask you, how many of you here were alive during World War II? If you were alive in World War II, the vast majority of our congregation. So I wanted to focus on something that relates to your generation. Because sometimes throughout history, things get glossed over and narratives get changed. What did the greatest general of World War II tell his men to do before the famed and bloody Battle of the Bulge? He told them to pray. You know, we are told to pray for our leaders. Thank God for leaders who fear God and worship God and pray to God for divine guidance and direction. General Patton knew, and I'm going to share some excerpts for you taken from several sources, from military archives, places you can go on the web and read similar things, and from the biography of General Patton. I want to look at the faith that General Patton had for just a moment this morning as we think about World War II and how different our lives would have been had God not guided us to the victory that we did have. Patton knew that the Allies needed God's help to win. The rain and snow and constant muddy conditions never seemed to end for them in Europe. So Patton turned to God and asked his chaplain to urge his soldiers for fervent and constant prayer. So what he asked his chaplains to do. This is a quote that the chaplain recorded as the words from Patton. "Urge all of your men to pray, not alone in church, but everywhere. Pray when driving. Pray when fighting. Pray alone. Pray with others. Pray by night and pray by day. Pray for the cessation of immoderate rains, for good weather for battle. Pray for the defeat of our wicked enemy, whose banner is injustice and whose good is oppression. Pray for victory. Pray for our army and pray for peace. We must march together all out for God. With prayer we cannot fail." Does it not give you a little bit of inspiration to think that our generals, at least from World War II, I believe coming all the way forward, are men of God, that they are empowered by faith, that they can handle the Herculean tasks that they have because they look to God for support and for guidance? It should be an example to us. but it goes a little deeper. You see, Patton was calling on others to help. He was praying. He was calling for everybody to pray, but then he tasked his chaplain. Third Army Head Chaplain James O'Neill was called upon by General Patton, and the general told him flatly, if the Allies were to make progress, the weather would have to change. You see, they were snowed in, there was mud everywhere, then there was freezing rain, it was miserable conditions, planes were grounded, nothing could move. When O'Neill had drafted up his prayer, he brought it to Patton. After perusing it, Patton had another order for the chaplain. Have 250,000 copies printed and see to it that every man in the Third Army gets one. Again, I bring to your attention how important it is that we have godly leaders. You know, politics can be thrown out every window in existence. Nothing matters more importantly for the people that will serve us in office than to be godly men and women. That should be the number one priority of the people who serve us. I'm thankful that we have had godly men and women serving in the military. The following is a prayer that the chaplain wrote. Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech Thee of Thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains and which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon Thee that, armed with Thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemy and establish Thy justice among the nations. Amen. You see, folks, these people were believers. And there was nothing that was lost up in the muddle of a media narrative. They were fighting for a just cause. And they knew it. They knew what was happening in Europe, what the Nazis were doing, and what the Japanese were doing, was wicked. And there is nothing wrong with pointing out wickedness. This chaplain had the courage to do that in his prayer. And folks, we know, I think this prayer is somewhat substantiated by what we read earlier in our opening call to worship from Psalm 82, 3 through 4. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. And I can tell you that's what was happening in Europe back in this time, back in World War II. And it has happened many times across this world, where our military has gone in and freed people that were enslaved by wickedness. We need to be thankful for those people that serve in the military. We know what history records, that the Lord heard the prayers and granted victory. Taken from the archives, it's written thus, the morning of December the 2nd would dawn sunny and clear as an early Christmas present to Bastogne in Belgium. You see, the chaplain prayed for clear and good weather. And that's what the Lord did. He answered that prayer. Allied planes were no longer grounded and supplies were dropped in. Americans inside and outside Bastogne went full force after the Nazi spearhead. The temperature warmed up and roads improved. Within several days, all of the Allies had linked up. The siege was broken and with it any hope of victory for Germany. And I'm going to say, folks, because of faith and the power of prayer. The chaplain, meanwhile, was given a medal by General Patton for his wonderful prayer and for his apparent good terms with the Lord. That's a true story. You see, Memorial Day is about honoring our servicemen and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country and its citizens. But it's also about honoring the faith that they had, recognizing that faith, and remembering God's goodness, His kindness, and His blessings. Thanking Him that we have these blessings today. You see, we recognize what those people did. France wouldn't have it, or it would be different if it wasn't for what the Allies did. I'm not disparaging the French in any way. They fought, were fighting too. And they've recognized our sacrifices and the many thousands of people that laid down their lives on a foreign soil. The rest of Europe does too. It is honor, it is due and required of us to recognize and honor noble acts of service. that others have done and that we benefit from. Listen to Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2. And if you were a soldier or a serviceman in any type, be a policeman or a firefighter, and you had dangerous interactions in your career, how would these words strike you? What would they mean to you? I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You see, the founders of our country, great military men and women, publicly proclaim their faith. They have since the onset of our country, and they still do today. Thank God for those who are not timid and ashamed to publicly proclaim their faith in our country. We still have our faith. We need to not take this liberty for granted. And the liberty being to exercise our faith, to have publicly and not be afraid of persecution. That day may change in the future, but I believe as long as we have faith in God and pulpits are filled with people wanting to come and worship across this country, that we will preserve that liberty as long as we continue to have godly men and women who are serving our country. Honoring God, as the psalmist here did, when we remember what He has done for us, is important. You see, we honor our military people, but we need to be honoring also God's constant overseeing hand in our lives, in our military's life, in our nation's life. We need to remember it. We need to count our blessings and be thankful for them. As we read in the prayer that we read earlier this morning about praying for Memorial Day, thank God for the liberties that we have. Nowhere else in the world can you go and have the full extent of liberties that we do. There was a preacher who was just arrested in England because he was preaching what they considered hate speech out of the Bible. You see, liberties can be taken away very easy, and it's usually cost a lot of blood to gain those liberties back. We need to be thankful that we still have them, and for those who did shed their blood so that we can enjoy them. I want you to consider the following story. Now, this is not on the PowerPoint, but it relates to the overall feelings that we have on Memorial Day about the sense of gratitude that we should have, because this person in this story demonstrated that gratitude. I want you to think about an extremely difficult time in your life and how help may have come unexpectedly. When you feel like you have no hope and then hope comes, you're grateful for it. An old man used to visit a broken old pier in southeast Florida every night until he died back in 1973. He walked with a little bit of a stoop, bent over, and he carried a shrimp bucket with him to this broken down pier. And when he got to the pier, the seagulls would come and he would feed the birds out of his bucket. You see, many years before, matter of fact, in 1942, the same person, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, was on a mission over the South Pacific in a B-17 to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress, as the B-17 was known, well, it became lost. And then they were low on fuel, so they had to ditched the plane into the ocean, and they parachuted out and were surviving in their raft. For over a month, Captain Eddie and his companions fought the waves and the water and the scorching heat and the sun. They spent many sleepless nights just trying to stay afloat. But the most difficult enemy was starvation. The rations were gone, and it would take a miracle to sustain them. And the following is an excerpt from Captain Eddie's own words. The pilot, William Cherry, read the service from the Book of Common Prayer. If you stop right there, you see The Bible and the book of prayer is in every unit of our military. You cannot separate faith out of our military. A prayer for deliverance and a hymn of peace, a praise. In the oppressive heat, with my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep off the glare, I dozed off. Something landed on my head, and I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone's eyes were on that seagull. Food. If only I could catch it. And the bird sat there calm, and still as I slowly reached up and captured it in my hands. The rest is history. They ate the bird and used its intestines to catch fish. Their bodies were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land. You might wonder, who directed the seagull? That lone seagull had offered itself as a sacrifice. And Rickenbacker never forgot. Ever since, about sunset on a lonely stretch of beach along the southeastern Florida seacoast, until the day he died, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent with a bucket full of shrimp, to remember the one who gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness, a gift from God. And you might say, like Jesus Christ, who willingly gave up his life to be a ransom for many. You see, folks, we have liberties in this country because of what others do. And they sometimes die in their service. This man was grateful for that bird that was a sacrifice for him and his companions. And he never forgot the gravity of it. You see, our lives touch other people. Sometimes hope comes into our lives through many different facets. We need to be thankful for it because just like that seagull, I believe, was guided by the hand of God. Just like victories in certain battles are guided by the hand of God, we have seen miracles in our lives. We have been the beneficiary of those miracles. And sometimes those miracles come because of the efforts of other people. Thank God for the people in your life. Some of those people aren't here. Some of those people are memories now and will be recognized Memorial Day. Be they veterans who died in the service of this country, be they family members who had great influence over you, we all have people that we recognize and remember. And their life's testimonies were a memorial. So on Memorial Day, honor their memories. But especially tomorrow, honor those who sacrificed and died in the military. So now I want to ask you, we all came to church today. When you got up today, what did you thank God for? Did you thank Him just for the gift of today? Yeah, it was a little rainy. I'm thankful that we all had the blessing to come together. That's a liberty that we still enjoy. We glance over it. We gloss over it. It gets buried. We shouldn't take it for granted. We have the right to come together to worship without fear of persecution. I'm thankful for that. But did you thank Him? Perhaps you're up on current news, but somebody who drives a NASCAR, Kyle Busch, who was only 41 years old, died earlier this week. And prior to him passing away, he won what would turn out to be his last race. And in an interview, he was asked, well, why is this one so special? And he answered and said, because you never know when the last one is. He died a few days after that race from complications from pneumonia at just 41 years old. You see, we never know. This may be our last day. Did you thank God for it? I pray that you did. Psalms 136 tells us to thank God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Giving thanks needs to be a perpetual constant in our lives, folks. These same words are recorded in 1 Chronicles and then over in Psalm 107. When things are repeated throughout the Bible, we need to pay attention to them and we need to make sure that we practice them. We need to thank God for something else, that we're not forgotten. You know, those people in that raft probably thought they were forgotten. There have been many people barely surviving in battles, prolonged battles in the military. They might feel like, I've been forgotten. But God says, we are not forgotten. Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. And the Lord answered, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Folks, God knows you individually, and He calls us by name. You are inscribed in the palms of His hands. It doesn't mean that we don't have hard times and difficulties and tragedies in our lives. But God is forever with us, and He hears the prayers of His people. And He has perfect knowledge of you, of me, of all His children. And we are told that specifically in the Psalms, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me, and you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. The same is true for all of God's children, even those who have fallen in battle. Patton made the comment that we shouldn't, and I'm paraphrasing this, we shouldn't mourn those who have died. Rather, we should thank God that they lived. We need to be thankful that men and women have had the tenacity to serve in the military and endure the hardships that sometimes thrust upon them. We need to be thankful for the people in our lives, that those people lived and had a profound influence on us. You see, for every aspect of our life when we think about it, and when I say aspect, I really should change that to say through every age of our life, when we were very young, when we're a little older, as we get older still, there are people that have an impact and an influence on our lives, and that's true for you too. You are having it on somebody else. God knows us. He is with us through every stage of our life. And we are intended and meant to be a blessing to others, and others be a blessing to us. And if when we view it properly, those that we recognize tomorrow, we are the beneficiaries of the blessings that they fought and bled and died for. But even when they bled and they died, God was with them. You know, sometimes we see life through the finite prism of our eyes, which is very short-sighted. We can't see the whole picture. And we think that all there is in life is the comfort that we're currently enjoying. And if we're uncomfortable, we don't like it. But that's not what life is about. We will have difficulties and hardships and struggles in this life, and you all know that. You've seen it in your life. You've seen it in other lives. But God is with us through those struggles. Romans 8:31 and then verses 38 and 39 tells us of His everlasting love and kindness. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We belong to God, folks, and even the death on the battlefield cannot separate us from the love of God. The hard times in life cannot separate us from the love of God. And we need to think about life in that manner. We know that we're going to have hard times. We know that sacrifices are required to make it through this life. We know that to be a benefit to others, sometimes we need to prioritize their needs over our needs. It's not about us. It's about our service to God. It's about proclaiming God's goodness and His blessings in our lives and trying to help others along the way. That's what military men and women do. That's what Christian soldiers are supposed to do. That's what you and I are supposed to be. Christian soldiers who lovingly and proudly proclaim our faith in public. And folks, if we have the faith that we need to have, when those hard times come, we won't wilt under the pressure. We'll fight against the tyranny, be it in the battle of in military terms, or through a bad circumstance that enters our life. And we need to remember that God is with us, whatever may come. It doesn't matter what may come. Nothing can separate us. So I have one more story I want to share with you about a hard time. Years ago, on a hot summer day in Florida, a young boy ran out the back of his house. And as he ran, the shoes and the shirt and his clothes went flying. He was going to dive into the cool water of the lake behind his house. And as he dove in the water, he started swimming in the middle of the lake. But swimming towards him was an alligator. His mother looked out that window, and in utter fear, she ran towards the water and started screaming for her son. Well, he heard, and he turned around and started swimming back, and he swam as fast as he could. But it was too late. As he got to the edge of the dock, his mother reached down and grabbed his arms. But the alligator grasped on and grabbed his legs. So it was a terrible tug of war that took place. Of course, that alligator was much bigger and stronger than the mother. But the mother was fueled by love for her son, and she wouldn't let go. And a neighbor heard the screams. He came running out of the house, he got with his rifle, and he shot the alligator and he killed it. Well, after many surgeries and several struggles where the boy almost lost his life because of the infections that come from the alligator attack, he recovered in the hospital. He survived. His legs were extremely scarred, but he still had them, and he was grateful and thankful for them. He was able to eventually walk out of the hospital. He had scars on his legs, but he also had deep marks on his arms for where his mother had grabbed him, and her fingernails had sunk deep into his flesh in her efforts to save him. After he went home, of course, the reporters came around, and one of the reporters who interviewed the boy asked, "Could I see your scars?" So he raised his pants legs and showed his scars. But then, in a moment of obvious pride, he said, "But look at my arms. I have scars on my arms, too. These are the scars from where my mother wouldn't let go." Mom wouldn't let go. You see, folks, that's the way we are with Jesus Christ. God will not let go of us either. Sometimes we might be in the jaws of Satan himself, and we may have the scars to show it, but there's some other scars that bear even greater witness. And those scars are on the hand of Jesus Christ, because He wouldn't let go of the love for His children and His obedience to God the Father, so He gave Himself a sacrifice for us. He willingly laid down His love, and as we've quoted now a few times, no greater love than this than is to lay down one's life for their friends. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what that mother was willing to do. That's what the people we honor tomorrow did too. And it's fitting that we remember them. Folks, Jesus never lets go of us. And the following words, I believe, reflect that. And it should give us hope, and it should inspire us to be Christian soldiers who proclaim our faith, who recognize those that have been influences in our life and that we are the beneficiaries of, those that might be a vacant seat in your extended family on Memorial Day tomorrow. Jesus said the following, and count this as one of the things that you should be grateful for and saying thank you, Lord, for. My sheep hear my voice. You see, if you hear His voice, He knows you. And nothing can separate you from His love. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father as one. So folks, as you think about maybe that vision that you, and that illustration in your mind of that mother wrestling with her son over that alligator, or with that alligator, you need to recognize that's you, and that's me. Because sin would, if Satan had his way, he would pull us under the water and we would be gone. But because of what Jesus Christ did, that's not our ultimate fate, because He died for us. You are His child, and you have that proof because you hear His voice. And if you hear His voice, you need to say so. You need to publicly proclaim it and share your faith with others. I pray that we're doing it. Again, that's what Christian soldiers do. That Christian banner has gone before many armies throughout history. The banner of faith. It goes through the military today. The Bibles are still given out in the military. You know, there was a time when it tried to, people made effort to try to extinguish it. Thank God it was not successful. Faith is still alive in the military today. And it's being restored stronger and stronger. And it's that way enshrined in the different governing bodies that we have. Fight for it. Because Satan will try to snatch it away. And it takes a Herculean effort sometimes to preserve it. But never forget, you are in the hands of the Lord, and nothing can snatch you away. It might seem like that you're in a terrible struggle sometimes in life. And the sin is clawing at you, and the lies and hypocrisies of Satan will just flood you and make you think you're not worth anything. But that's not true. You're so valuable that Jesus Christ died on that horrible cross because He would not let go of His children, of you. And tomorrow, as we think about Memorial Day, I hope there are tears of gratitude. I hope there's tears of gratefulness if you have people in your family that died. I think probably everyone here, if you go back far enough in the generations to World War II or beyond, to World War I or Civil War, we've had family members that died in service to their country. Maybe you have tears of gratitude for what they did because you still have the liberty to go to church freely. You have the liberty to speak your conscience and share your faith. So as we, I think we need to take to heart what General Patton said. Thank God that those men and women live tomorrow. And as we mourn because of endearment to us or whatever it may be, I want you to remember one thing. Death does not separate us from God. Hard times does not separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from God. Death comes to us all, be it on a battlefield or through some other avenue of life. We will all face it. It will come for us. But folks, death for the child of God does not separate us. It merely brings us home. And Psalm 116 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord are those many millions of people who died that we will honor tomorrow. We read the scripture earlier today. Give honor to those who are due honor. Honor the people that you remember that are memorials to you. Honor those military fallen tomorrow on Memorial Day. But above and beyond all things, honor the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. Brother Mark.